EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all doing well. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We meet Charlie this episode, calling from Wisconsin in the United States, and Charlie will be sharing his experiences with UFOs and the paranormal. Charlie, up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Charlie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Nick. Thanks.
Great to have you with us today, calling from Wisconsin.
Yes. Central Wisconsin.
And I think you may be our first guest caller from Wisconsin. I don't recall another one from that part of the States.
Oh, cool.
So forgive me out there if you have been a guest and you're from Wisconsin, just in case.
Probably my next door neighbor or something, right?
maybe. The thing is, I've had multiple guests from just about every single state. So yeah, I don't think I have. Now, Charlie, you have some experiences to share with our listeners. Would you be kind enough to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Sure. Yeah, the first couple of experiences are in Wisconsin, and then we hop over to Tucson, Arizona, where we lived for 4 years, and then back to here. So the first experience was in 1989. My brother, my younger brother, and our best friend were goofing around on a Ouija board, which was, you know, not common, but not uncommon at that time. And my brother and I had lost our dad when I was 11, he was 8. So that comes into the story a little bit. So we were messing around a little bit on the Ouija board. We were just asking questions. And typically, you know, like you kind of assume that other people are moving the planchette around. And that's kind of what I did. My brother was kind of a funny guy, and I figured he might be moving it around. So eventually we made contact with an entity or spirit or whatever that claimed to be our dad, which really freaked me out. And I actually didn't think it was very funny. I thought my brother was messing with me. And we started asking him questions, and we asked a question about have you ever tried giving us any presents since you were gone? And he said, yes. And then we said, well, what did you give us? Nothing happened. So we thought, oh, you know, like I thought my brother couldn't think of anything to spell out. But then all of a sudden, it went really quickly to VCR. And I'm like, VCR, what? I thought he was trying to spell something else out. To the younger people out there, this was in the late 80s, so VCRs weren't real common. This would have been like around 1986 about 1986 or 1987 that we got our first VCR. And we just weren't getting it. We were like, VCR, what? Like, by that time, we took it for granted that we had a VCR. But we just so happened to be sitting about 5 feet away from that very same VCR, and it turned on and off. The VCR turned on and off several times, and we were not near the remote. We all of us had our hand on the Ouija board, so we were really freaked out. Our best friend started crying. He was just happy for us, you know, that we had made contact somehow with something. And so I guess that's the first experience. It's pretty cool. Okay, the second experience is very different. All of these experiences are very different. This was 1996. So I was living in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and I was working in La Crosse, and I was living in Galesville, which is about a 30-mile drive. So I was driving home one night at around 6 p.m., and I had driven this road maybe a couple hundred times. It was just, you know how you get on your normal commute. And I looked over to the right as I was driving in a fairly rural area, and there was a Harrier jet hovering in somebody's front yard. And oddly enough, I looked at that and I thought that that was normal. And I just kept driving. I didn't pull over right away. There was nobody behind me. I could have just stopped and investigated or something, but I just kept driving. And I can still picture it like it happened yesterday. But I don't know. I'm going to assume that that's a screen memory, but I don't think I had any missing time or anything like that. So that's a very short experience. Then in 2001, I had a very brief out-of-body experience. I was sleeping, and I felt something rubbing against my face, like something sharp. So I woke up, and my face was right against the ceiling. I felt the ceiling as if my skin was touching the ceiling. I turned around and looked down, and I saw myself sleeping in bed. And I just kind of shook my head, what's going on? And then I fell back asleep, and I woke up like normal the next morning. It could have been a dream, but it didn't seem like a dream. And it's never happened since. I never had a dream before or after that that was anything like that. It seemed very real to me. Okay, the next one, the brother that I had mentioned before, unfortunately, passed away in an accident in 1997, so 2005. I went to go see a medium. Normally, I wouldn't have gone to see a medium. I didn't really believe in that kind of stuff. Not that you shouldn't believe in that kind of stuff, but I just didn't. And despite the fact that I had that experience with the Ouija board, but a woman that I worked with who I really respected had gone to a medium, and this medium lived pretty close to where I lived. And this woman that I worked with told me that it was worth a try. So I went and saw her. I was really kind of getting the feeling that she was trying to cold read me. I did bring along a little miniature voice recorder along just to kind of, so I could investigate after the fact whether she was trying to cold read me or if I was giving her any clues inadvertently. But anyway, she told me a bunch of stuff about my brother who, you know, about after he died, like he had seen us when we had gotten together to honor him. And she gave me some fairly specific but not convincing information. And then she told me that he wanted to tell me something really important, that he was sitting next to the boy, quote unquote. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he said, the boy, you know, Eric. And I'm using a different name because he said my son's name. I don't want to say my son's name on the air here. But at the time, I didn't know anybody named Eric, especially a boy. Like I had no idea who he could have been referencing. It made no sense to me at all. So I went home thinking that I wasted the money on that medium. I didn't feel like I really gained anything from it. But in 2020, I found that voice recording. I had totally forgotten about the whole experience. 2020, I went back and found that voice recording, that little voice recorder, I should say. And I listened back to it. And I still thought she didn't get a lot right. But one thing she did get right was my son's name. What the entity she was talking to, the name Eric, quote unquote, that he used. That's what we ended up naming our son. And the thing that's funny about that is that we had another name picked out. And then one of my best friends and his wife were having a baby at the same time. And they took the name that we were going to take. And at the time, both of us were teachers, and there were a lot of names we didn't want to use. There, so anyway, long story short, we ended up picking the name Eric, completely unrelated to anything that I remembered from the reading, because I hadn't really believed in the reading. I had just kind of forgotten about it. But I freaked out when I listened to that recording again, because that was his name. So I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, then the next experience is in central Wisconsin. We had moved back there after my wife finished school, and this is 2014. We had two little kids at the time, so we had very little time to hang out together. And one of our parents was over that night. They were watching the kids. So we decided to take a quick walk down to the mailbox and just talk. It was like the end of the day. She had just gotten home from work. And so we walked down to the mailbox, and we lived in the country. There was no light pollution at all. As we're talking, my wife said, "Hey, do you see that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do." I'm like, "Oh, look, there's two of them." And what it was two amber points of light that were bouncing around in the sky, kind of like when you, if you've ever played with a cat with a laser pointer on the wall. It didn't look like a physical object could move like that. It looked like a laser pointer in the sky, but of course there'd be nothing for the light to bounce off of in the sky. I can still picture where it was. It was like southeast of the town we lived in, and probably 5 to 10 miles away, but still clearly visible. It was low in the sky, but you know, above tree level, and it must have been high enough so we could have seen it. It gave the impression of being 5 to 10 miles away. Couldn't quite tell for sure. But yeah, we watched it for about 5 minutes, and then it just disappeared. So that was it. Okay, 2016, we had moved to Tucson, Arizona, and we lived in a really nice neighborhood. We got a bunch of, like, I don't know if anybody else is familiar, like if you move to a different part of the country, you end up having different kinds of trees to take care of in your yard. And this yard that we moved to had a little lemon tree. It was actually more like a bush than a tree. And it had these giant thorns. It was really hard the trim. It's hard to keep it thinned out, and it was hard to keep it keep his shape looking nice. So I was out there wrestling with this lemon tree, and my wife and my kids were, I forgot where they were, they went shopping or something like that. So I'm out in the backyard, you know, just, it was like a Sunday morning around 11:30, quarter, and like right before lunch. And it was a perfect day. Like in Tucson, there are a lot of perfect days. And it, this was December 16th, 2016. So a lot of, especially for December, it was a beautiful day. Clear as a bell, nothing in the sky. Now, we see a lot of air traffic where we lived, just outside of Oro Valley. So you have Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, 20 miles to the south. And then Luke Air Force Base, outside of Phoenix, about 120 miles to the northeast. So I think our house must have been on a flight line between the two Air Force bases, because we saw, you name it, we saw it. I mean, there were just all kinds of cool planes flying over our house. It was really neat. We even saw the Goodyear blimp a couple times because the University of Arizona football games, I assume. So anyway, it was one of those beautiful days, and I was used to seeing things in the sky. There's nothing to obscure the sky, no clouds at all. Typical beautiful day. December in Tucson. And all of a sudden I saw the light reflecting off of something. And it looked spherical. It looked like it wasn't that high. I'm guessing a couple thousand feet. I'm not a great judge of that though. And I didn't know how big it was. So it was pretty hard to tell. But at first, you know, you kind of oversimplify things when you see them. I looked at it. So it, at first when I looked at it, like I said, I felt like it was like just a perfect circle, and it looked like it was just like a metal ball. When I looked closer, I could see that it kind of had these appendages, and it looked like maybe five balls coming out from the center ball. Then it seemed to be rotating. At first I thought, okay, it's a balloon, but it looked like about the size of a car to me. Now, I could be wrong. Like I said before, I could be wrong. But it looked like about the size of a car, and it looked to be rotating very solidly. And it looked to be staying relatively in the same position in the sky. Now, ultimately, it did end up moving around a bit, but it never moved out of view for about half an hour, actually close to 35 minutes. So I ran inside and got my camera. I had a Nikon D60. Which had a telephoto lens on it, because I was, you know, we had just moved to Tucson. I thought it was really cool that there's like lots of lizards and stuff climbing along the wall of our backyard. So I always took pictures of the lizards and hummingbirds and all the cool stuff that we didn't have in Wisconsin when we lived there. That was just quail, you know, stuff that was going through our backyard. So I happened to have that camera handy, which was cool. I wish in the end, I would have gotten a video with my phone, but the phone I had then was pretty bad. So the video would not have been high quality for sure. But I opted to take pictures, still pictures of it. And I took pictures probably for, I don't know, close to 20 or 25 minutes of the 35 minute experience. And almost every single time I took a picture, this thing looked different. And sometimes it looked a lot like a balloon. Other times it looked like a little satellite. I've shared some pictures with you, Nick. It was always the same thing, though. I was not taking pictures of different things in the sky. There was only one thing in the sky, and it was a strange thing. I don't know what it was. Like I said, we lived kind of in between two Air Force bases, so could be some kind of military drone. I seriously doubt it was any kind of commercial drone. It was too big. It was absolutely silent, and it didn't have propellers or jets or anything like that. It was just up there, and it was very solidly up there. Anyway, I at the end of the experience, I started kind of losing interest a bit, inexplicably, kind of like when I lost interest in that Harrier jet as I was driving past. Like it didn't make sense that I would lose interest. But yeah, I've listened to your podcast quite a bit. I've heard a lot of other people. The same kind of thing happens where you just inexplicably lose focus or lose interest or whatever. Right as that happened, this thing seemed to change shape into a small white plane. And I was really confused. As it happened, I was really confused. And then it seemed to just kind of fly away. As it flew to the north, almost directly to the north. And it turned. And as it turned, it started shooting out a contrail. And I took my camera down and I looked at it. And when I looked at it with my bare eyes, it looked like just a white jet. But there were no markings on the jet. It was just white. And there was a contrail. Now, it was going east-west, and this is a very heavily trafficked airway, commercial airway. So it didn't look out of place at all. But, you know, I could swear that it turned from this weird-looking satellite pod starfish-like thing into a small plane like a Cessna, and then into a larger jet. I know that sounds crazy. When I first shared the story, I shared it with the MUFON investigator, and I did not include that part because I didn't want to sound crazy. But, you know, it's 6 years later. I don't really care. I'm pretty confident that I'm not crazy now. For about a month after that, I would always go for walks on the loop, they call it. That's like a walking/cycling trail that goes all the way around Tucson, Oro Valley area. And I would walk between La Cholla and La Cañada, that area. I would always see these spheres really high up, like much higher than the main sighting was. I would see them really high up while I was walking right over Mount Lemmon. And like so high up that I thought maybe it's a satellite. But then I thought it would be kind of weird to see a satellite in broad daylight. But I only saw them for about a month after that, and then nothing. So, and then the last experience I had was here where we live now. It's about 45 minutes east of, we moved back to Wisconsin. This place is about 45 minutes east of the first Wisconsin house where my wife and I saw the amber colored orbs or whatever they were. I'd heard a lot about CE5, mainly on your podcast and another podcast or two. And, you know, I hadn't ever really wanted to try it, but one night there was it was late September. It was a beautiful night. My extended family was out at some land that they own having a campfire. And I came home a little bit early just to have a little bit of time to myself. It's always kind of nice. And, I decided, okay, I've got this quiet time by myself. I'm going to go in the backyard and try CE5. So I went and got a lawn chair. We have a big backyard and there's no light pollution. It's just it's a beautiful place to watch the stars. So I sat down in this lawn chair and I found this half an hour or 45 minute CE5 meditation online on YouTube. And yeah, I did the whole meditation and I thought, I opened my eyes when I told you to open your eyes. And quite honestly, I did not think anything was going to happen at all. Then I saw like a white light turn on, like somebody flicked on a light switch. It was quite high up. What it looked like to me was kind of like a firefly, but it was really high up in the atmosphere. It wasn't a firefly. It turned on though, like a firefly. And then another one turned on. And then they started like flying around together. Not like the amber orbs we saw earlier that zipped around kind of like a laser pointer would on a wall if you're playing with a cat. These were very slow and they were fun to watch. It looked like they were playing almost. And it looked like they were entertaining me. And they flew around for about 5 minutes and then they just left and they were just gone. So, and I've tried it 2 or 3 times since and nothing. I'm going to keep trying though. That's about it, Nick.
Sounds like, Charlie, you had a bit of success with that CE5.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, you hear some people, they try it and it works every time, or, you know, and some people, they try it and it never happens for them. But for me, the first time I tried it, I thought, let's give this a shot. And actually, it was just because it was such a beautiful night and it was quiet around here, a little rare sometimes. It was fun. It was cool.
Yeah, I always say that, you know, if you don't try it, then, you know, you'd never know. Some people do get frustrated when they go out there and they don't see anything, but it's just one of those things. You just got to be patient. And I think a lot of it is to do with your insides mentally as well. You know, if you can relax and project it all out there, then I think people have more success than just going out and hoping to see something.
I agree. Yeah. And, you know, I think the couple of times after that I tried, I was kind of expecting to get something because I did the first time and then I didn't get it. I think they're waiting for me to not expect it before they show me again.
Yeah, I think sometimes they're not on tap, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, but that's a strange one. You know, when you look up, you can see satellites flying over. You know, they stay on the same trajectory. You know, they don't differ from that, and they certainly don't dance around each other.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. Arizona it's so easy to see things in the sky there because the atmosphere is so thin and it's so dry. And Tucson is not very high; it's only about 2,500 feet, but it is very dry there. So, and it's very clear most of the time. So you can see a lot of cool stuff. Like I said, we saw many different kinds of airplanes. It was really cool. We saw an Osprey once. Have you ever seen one of those?
I've never seen one, no.
Kind of like a helicopter plane. They're the kind of plane that take off, not like a Harrier jet where it looks like a normal jet. An Osprey has like two large blades with rotating engines on them. So they can take off straight up and then just take off. First they take off vertically, then they can go horizontally just by shifting where the engines are facing. They're really cool.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
I only saw one of those, but like we saw F-22 Raptors, we saw F-35s, A-10s, of course, everything. They flew right over our house. You know, like you would think they wouldn't fly over. I mean, we lived in a fairly populated part of Tucson. But the Air Force is just kind of normal down there, you know.
So on that flight path, you'd see a lot of stuff which generally people wouldn't see.
Yeah, right. And so that's what made me think at the time, like, maybe this thing that I'm seeing, the sighting I had in Tucson, this is, maybe that's some kind of Air Force thing. But it was just so strange, like, no noise at all. And the MUFON investigator ultimately determined that it was also like a true unknown, because she couldn't figure out what it was either. I got enough good pictures of it so that they could see that it was something really weird. I mean, it just changed. It kept changing shapes. I don't know of anything we have that could do that. But again, I don't really know that much about planes. So
there's nothing I've ever seen like that. Now, to our listeners, I'm going to add Charlie's photographs to the link to the website. So he's got his photographs on. I'd also include the MUFON report as well. Go take a look. It's a very unusual object. It could well be, you know, something experimental that the military are doing, but, you know, I've never heard of anything like this. It is very strange. And in fact, one of the pictures that you've taken from below, it looks like a tortoise, as if you're looking at a tortoise from down below.
Yes.
Very strange.
Yeah, and there were, you know, and one of them, it looked just like a balloon, like one of those star balloons that are copper colored on the circles, and the rest of them, like at the points, you know, and then the rest of it is silver. But I'm telling you, it was not a balloon. I know it, when I first put it on, when it was first on MUFON, that's before the paywall was on MUFON. But it was so weird, you know, almost immediately people were writing kind of derogatory comments about it. And nice move, genius. It's obviously a star balloon. I bought one for my daughter for her birthday yesterday or something like that. You know, like obviously I'm not making any money from this. I anonymously shared it. So nobody even knew who I was. I don't know. It was like I started getting harassed, you know, just in the comments. I'm like, whatever. I was just trying to share this because I thought it was cool, you know. And then they took those comments down. MUFON must have taken those comments down. And then another batch of comments showed up. They took those down. And then right before the ability to access MUFON reports was removed, so they went completely to a paywall, a couple of people wrote, "I'm so glad you shared this because I see these too." One of them, I believe, was in Maryland, and I can't remember where the other one was. But, you know, it's really strange. And then, you know, now I'm not going to pay to do research on MUFON. But, you know, now there's a paywall, so.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame to do that. I receive many photographs a month, generally in the summertime. And usually on a Saturday and a Sunday, I'll get these pictures, and they would, you know, they would be balloons. They would be those Mylar balloons, the silver ones. Usually after a birthday party, someone has let them go. So I get a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything like this. And usually an indicator with balloons is, even a group of balloons that's been let off, it would move, you know, it would move across the sky. But you're saying this didn't move for nearly 30 minutes. Is that right?
Yeah, it was there for 30 minutes. And I mean, it was kind of moving, I guess, but it was very slowly and very deliberately. It would seem to get a little bit closer. I got the impression, maybe this is just my imagination, but I got the impression that it noticed me noticing it. And it seemed to get a little closer to me. And you can see that on some of those pictures I sent you are a little closer and some are a little further away. I got a bunch of other pictures too. Like I took, I don't know, at least 20 or 30 pictures while I was sitting there. And it was rotating real deliberately. It seemed heavy, if you know what I mean. Like, you know how a balloon looks light in the air and kind of bouncy, kind of at the mercy of the wind. This thing looked like it was completely deliberate, moving of its own volition, not at the mercy of the wind at all, and silent.
Yeah, it's unusual. Yeah, it is an interesting shape. So, yeah, to our listeners, take a look and then and see if maybe you've seen this before or we can identify it. But yeah, I've never seen anything like this before.
Mm, cool. Like I know you've been exposed to a lot of these pictures, so it'd be kind of neat if it were actually something mystifying, you know, like something a little mysterious.
Definitely for now, it's unexplained, definitely an unknown.
Yeah, and I mean, this one, like, especially there's that one picture I sent to you where it almost looks like a plastic model or something, where it almost looks like a satellite or something like that. Or, you know, it has like, it looks like it has red and yellow and blue protrusions, almost lights on it. And the way I imagine it is those balls were like going in and out of this thing. It almost looked like it was controlling itself by, like it was steering itself or something, somehow. I don't know. It just looked very strange. It looked like, obviously, I don't know, but almost like some kind of anti-gravity control or, you know, something like that. But I guess, you know, if you guess like that, then it kind of detracts from how cool the experience actually was. I really don't know, so I shouldn't even guess. I know there was no propellers on it, and it was not jets that was keeping it in the air. So what was keeping it in the air?
Exactly. And you said when it eventually did move off, it morphed into something else?
Yes, it turned into like a small plane, like a Cessna or, you know, like that type of plane, like a two-seater. And the pictures that I have, you can't see, I did not see any call numbers on the side of the plane at all. It looks like it turned from, you know, the picture you were talking about where it looked like a turtle almost, it turned from that into something that looked like a plane from one picture to the next. And then it started flying off to the north. And then as it banked to the east, it headed east once it got north of Tucson or north of Oral Valley. It seemed to like sprout a contrail. And when I couldn't believe what I was looking at, I took the camera down, and when I looked at it with my bare eyes, it looked like a jet, like a full-size jet, passenger jet. So I took a picture of it, and for the life of me, I can't see any call numbers on it at all. I can't see any markings at all. You know, it could be because it was so far away. You know, I don't want, like I said before, I don't want to detract from the honesty of the story by guessing what it might have been. I just don't know. I could have just gotten confused, and it could be that could have just been a jet that was flying west to east. But then what happened to the thing that I was looking at?
Right. Most peculiar. In one of the pictures, it kind of looks like, do you remember that old fashioned game we used to play, Jacks? Do you remember that? We used to throw the ball up and then try and grab those pieces.
Yeah.
So it kind of looks like those those pieces with the little balls and, you know, the ball in the middle.
Yes. And then on another picture, it has much more detail than that. You can actually see detail on the body of it, like with the different colors.
Yeah, I've got that one in front of me.
Yeah. I mean, so on one of them, it looks like it's just like a jack. Another one, it looks like it's like a turtle. Another one, it looks more like a balloon. It's all the same thing, though. I have no idea.
And the MUFON investigator, they didn't mention any other sightings in the area or anyone else has reported anything similar?
No. She was super helpful, too. I mean, like, she was really nice to work with. And she didn't find any sightings that looked like this. But I did find that one link that I sent to you. That looks like what I saw. That's the only thing I've seen. I mean, obviously, I was pretty obsessed with this right after it happened. What the heck was that thing? So I looked all over the internet for it, and I know that the MUFON investigator did too. And neither one of us could find anything that looked like it. And then, I don't know, a year or two later, I think I just happened upon this one sighting, and it looked very much like what I saw. I mean, obviously, the thing that I saw was changing shape so much. This kind of looked like an average of the things that I saw, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's probably the closest. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't know. It was so cool to see it because, number one, that does back up. Okay, I wasn't just imagining it, and I wasn't just taking pictures of some balloon up in the sky. I didn't think that I was, but it's always nice to get a little bit of encouragement when it comes to a novel situation like this.
Yeah, of course it is. And I'd also add the link, this sighting in North Portugal, and that was in 2017. So people can compare the pictures.
Yeah, so that would have happened the year following my sighting. So pretty close time frame.
Good stuff, Charlie. Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Okay, let's go back to the 80s and this Ouija board.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's really interesting. Mention the VCR, and then, sure enough, the VCR comes on, turns off, and comes on again.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's funny about that, too, is that my brother and I had been begging my mom, or our mom, to get one. And at that time, it just wasn't real common to have one in your house. And then I ended up getting sick with chickenpox. And that very same day, my mom didn't even know I was sick yet, but she brought a new VCR home. And she told me that she just got an inspiration to buy it or something. So the whole time that I was home with chickenpox, I got to watch like movies. And at the time, now you can just put on Netflix or whatever. At the time, having a VCR was kind of a cool thing, you know, and being able to watch whatever you wanted to watch was not normal. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I missed the VCRs. I mean, I grew up with them, and there was nothing like it when you go, you know, you go out to the video store, come back with a couple of movies, put it in, and find out you've got to rewind it all first before you can watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You're pretty much stuck with whatever you picked at the video store, right? So it's not like you get 5 minutes into a movie on Netflix and just think, oh, I hate this. I'm going to watch something else. It's full commitment.
Yeah, you're stuck with it. Yeah, people don't realize how easy life is these days when it comes to things like that.
No, they don't. Yeah, I thought that was a cool experience. And I can guarantee in that case, nobody hit the remote control. We had like a finished basement part of our house, and we were in that room, and there was nobody else in the room except my brother and our best friend and me. So nobody could have hit the remote. That thing turned on by itself. It turned on and off by itself a couple times until it made sure that we noticed.
You did ask the board about the presents, you know, have you brought us a present?
Yeah.
You know, you have chicken pox, you know, you're stuck inside, you're stuck inside for a couple of weeks at least. And then you said your mother had the inspiration to just get a VCR for you.
Yeah. And we'd been begging her for months to get it. And she didn't even know I was sick yet. She brought it home on the day that I discovered that I had chicken pox. She brought it home. So it was really good timing.
Very good timing. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's nice to get little messages from beyond sometimes. You know, I wouldn't always suggest a Ouija board. I know these days it's, you know, you see them on TV and a lot of these ghost hunting shows, they all use them. But really, you know, you don't really want to be messing with them.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying they're dangerous and they're going to invoke the devil and that kind of stuff, but kind of next level thing. And you kind of got to understand what you potentially could be dealing with.
Yeah, and we sincerely did not. But, you know, we were like in our late teens at the time. So pretty much as stupid as guys get, that's like the prime years for male stupidity is in those like mid-teen years. So
I think we all can relate to that.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I know in my case it was true. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, at that point, it was fairly common. You probably remember that too, you know, like it was fairly common to during that time period, maybe a little bit after that time period to kind of mess around with that because it was before the internet. And, you know, you had to get a little creative with ways to entertain yourself before the internet.
Yeah, that's right. And in those days, you know, this kind of stuff was feared. You know, you had all the satanic panic going on and the whole rock music scene and all that. But yeah, no, I did. I think we picked ours up from a curiosity shop, like a military shop, which you could go there and buy just about anything in those days.
Yeah.
Different story now. But in those days, you could get some very strange items.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, let's head to where you had this sighting of a Harrier jump jet.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
It's unusual. Yeah, you don't generally see them hovering over someone's, was it someone's, literally someone's backyard?
Yeah, you know, the picture that I sent you, it was in that yard right next to their house, probably 25 feet off the ground, but it was off the ground. And, you know, those things are so loud that I would have heard it if it were making any noise. And it was silent.
Yeah, they are loud. I've actually been in the cockpit of one and seen one take off.
Really?
Yeah, the Harrier jump jets. Yeah, they're one of my favorite planes, actually.
Oh my gosh, cool. I would love to get a ride in one of those for sure. I have no idea why I was there. I have no idea what happened. I didn't have any missing time that day. You would think that if you had some kind of memory like that that didn't seem appropriate to be there, that you would have some kind of missing time. I didn't. I got home at the normal time, but I did see something really strange. It was weird.
It is very strange. So there's two possible explanations for it. Number one, may have been something that you see as a Harrier, but it wasn't a Harrier. So like you said, you know, it could be a screen memory. Number two, this is kind of possible, but probably is not allowed, is the pilot of the Harrier was literally just maybe showing off to his kids or his wife and stuff. But that would be a no-no, military-wise. You wouldn't be allowed to do something like that.
Well, you know, what was crazy is that it was like right over the grass, too. It was like, I thought he was going to start the grass on fire. You know, that's what I was worried about at the time. And, you know, but obviously I didn't worry too much because I didn't pull over. I just kept driving. What's wrong with me? I just kept driving. that's what makes me think it was something else, because normally I would have been like, I mean, around here, if I see a cool looking deer, I stop the car and I look at the deer, you know. Definitely seeing a Harrier jump jet in somebody's front yard is a lot cooler than seeing a deer. So I have no idea what's up with that. I hesitated to even share that because it sounds so crazy, but you know, I figured this might be my only opportunity to talk to you. So I just included all of the weird things that happened to me in my life all at one time.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And I appreciate that, because people have some strange experiences and then they have some ultra strange experiences, I call them. So some people are more comfortable sharing experiences which are probably a little bit more acceptable than others. So, you know, sometimes people have these experiences which just seem so bizarre and they just make zero sense.
Yeah.
It's still actually important to share those ones.
Right. Yeah. I will never know probably what that was, but I'm okay with that. And it's actually kind of cool to share it with you on the off chance that maybe somebody who listens to it has seen something like that. That'd be really cool to hear back if anybody has seen something like that.
Yeah, certainly. Get in touch if you have, because it's something which didn't belong in that location. It shouldn't have been there.
Right, right. I mean, and you've seen the picture, you know, like there's hardly anything around there, but there are houses. And it is right next to a state highway. So I don't know. Maybe I hallucinated it. I would have had no reason to hallucinate it, though. I was coming straight from work to home.
And I've heard experiences where people have seen things at a place that doesn't belong there. Like, why am I seeing that? So, you know, I can understand why perhaps it could be, you know, it could be like a screen memory.
Yeah, exactly. This stuff always hits when you least expect it too. You know, we lived in Egypt for 2 years, and as teachers, we taught at an American school there. I never saw one weird thing there. Everything was totally prosaic. Around here, you know, middle of Wisconsin, you know, very normal around here. This is where I see all my strange stuff. I guess Tucson too. Tucson is a little bit more, it's a little bit more normal to see crazy things there. But there are a lot of sightings around Tucson, but not so much around here.
Your out of body experience.
Yeah.
You woke up and something was scraping on your face.
The thing that woke me up was something scraping on my face. Yeah. I mean, like, I wouldn't have woken up, I don't think. But it felt like the kind of rough texture sometimes that's on ceiling. This was kind of a rough texture to the drywall. And I felt it on my face. And I'm like, obviously, I didn't know what it was at first. Then I opened my eyes. You know, usually you open your eyes, you can see some semblance of light in the room, but it was still dark. And then I kind of freaked out a little bit. I started turning my head around and I looked around and there's me sleeping in my bed. Then I really freaked out and I shut my eyes and I fell asleep again. And I woke up the next morning as normal. Like, I didn't wake up outside of my body again. I was inside like normal. And that has never happened before or since, as far as I can remember. It was just weird.
And it felt very real.
It felt just like waking up like normal. It was actually, you know, sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, if there's an unexpected noise and you're a little groggy and you're like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? It wasn't like that. It was more like being wide awake and then amping that up a few more degrees, but because you're so freaked out that you can see yourself sleeping. So I was hyper alert for a couple seconds. I fell back asleep again. My body was just, dude, you can't handle this. Just go back to bed. You're not ready for this yet. I mean, I didn't see any other part of my body when I was up there. But I can say that when I felt the ceiling on my face, it felt the ceiling was touching the skin on my face. You know, it didn't feel like some abstract kind of barrier. It felt like a very material barrier touching my skin, and I identified it as the ceiling. And I don't know how much of that is me kind of forming a construct to explain it to myself versus straight up reality. I'm not sure. But I definitely didn't think that it was fake when I woke up. I didn't think it was a dream. I just thought, wow, I don't want that to happen again. Now, I think, wow, that'd be really cool if that happened again. You know, like I'd be somewhat prepared. And like you said, you know, like, why didn't I wander around or something? That would have been cool. But that didn't even occur to me at the time. At the time, I was just, I need to get back in my body right now. And I did.
I never had that happen before, and I haven't had it happen since. I mean, I was trying. I was into that kind of stuff. I was practicing, and I was meditating, and I was trying it all. But during that time, I wasn't. And I know in the run-up, I'd had sleep paralysis. I had these strange things that were going on, and it was all tied into that. And that was in my last time that happened was in my 30s, and I haven't had it for a while since. And I haven't had, certainly haven't had an experience like that, as clear as that was.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I certainly wasn't asking for that kind of experience, but I think maybe the only thing that would have been different at the time was I was under quite a bit of stress at the time. So maybe that could have been it. And I'm not sure like if that had any effect over me having that experience or not, but I don't know. It hasn't happened before or since. I've been under more stress than that.
So, yeah, so that's the bit I should have said. I was also going for the stress that period of time, like financial stress.
Yeah.
So, and that, right. That has crossed my mind before, possibly. You could well be connected. Your body's going through things, whether, you know, you can look at it as loss of control.
Yeah, right. I looked at myself and I thought, oh God, I hope I'm breathing. It was that kind of experience. The first thing I thought was, I hope I'm breathing. Because I could see myself, you know, and obviously I was. But at first, you know, I kind of freaked out, and then I escalated quickly from there.
Okay, so let's finally, your son's name. No, obviously, yeah. Eric is not, you know, obviously not your son's real name.
Right.
It's strange that this medium, you know, saw your brother that had passed with this boy called Eric.
Yeah, she quoted my brother as saying that I'm with the boy, and, you know, I'm like, boy. Like, and then she clarified, you know, the boy, Eric. And then I was, nope, still nothing. And I was super disappointed. Obviously, anyone who's lost somebody who means so much to you, if you get so close to, you think you're making contact with that person or with whatever they are now, you know. And then it turns out to be, as it seemed at the time, not real. But then I, you know, as I wrote to you, it didn't seem real until I listened back to it in 2020 and, you know, like 15 years later. And that happened years before I even knew my wife, before we had our son. And as I said, you know, like we had a name picked out for our son. And then my best friend and his wife had a son earlier that year, months before our son was born. And they took the name that we were going to take. And we were good enough friends so that we didn't want our kids to have the same name, you know, because we were going to be around each other all the time. So, yeah, then we went back to the drawing board. And as I mentioned, we were both teachers. And, you know, you get different associations with different names and stuff. And different names remind you of different people. And
sure.
So, you know, like I kept thinking, no, not that name, not that name. And then one of my friends actually from high school had a son named, quote unquote, Eric. And she said, you know, that's a great name, don't you think? And I hadn't really talked to this friend in a while, but she found out that my wife and I were going to have a baby, and she was really excited for us. And, you know, everybody weighs in, that kind of thing. I said, yeah, you know, Eric is a great name. My wife liked it too. And, you know, if she likes it and I like it, let's use that name. So obviously it didn't mean anything to me until about 10 years later when I listened to that audio recording. It all made sense.
You know, I don't know how you particularly feel about it. You know, I've heard people talking about what, you know, the belief where, you know, when someone passes on, when and if they do reincarnate, then they tend to come back as usually as like a family member, like where you're kind of reincarnated into like the same kind of circle, whether it's friends, family.
Right, right. Like a soul group.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I'm kind of inclined to believe that as well.
Yeah.
So it could maybe be something like that, or your brother that passed kind of just gave you that name.
Yeah.
Maybe it was his favorite name from him, maybe. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do believe that people pick their parents. And I do believe like a lot of the things we experience in our life are kind of mapped out for us. This kind of slowly evolved towards believing that during my lifetime. So I can see my brother perhaps knowing who this person was. Maybe this person was part of our soul group, or of course, you know, obviously this is all speculation, but you know, maybe they chose to be born with us. I would love to believe that. That'd be great. We're really happy that he was.
I've always kind of said that before we come into this life, that no matter how hard or easy someone's life is, that they've chosen that life like a big library. You know, you're not going to learn unless you read the hard books. You know, you're going to read the easy books, no problem. But so I've always felt that, you know, no matter how tough someone's life is, you've already chosen that life, and you have to live that life to be able to move on, you know, and move on and progress.
I agree. Yeah, for sure. Makes me smile here. Thinking about my son, it makes me smile too.
So it is very possible, and it is very nice and reassuring to know that before your son came into this world, you know, he was probably surrounded by love.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly why I was smiling right now.
Good stuff, Charlie. Fascinating.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you.
Charlie, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Well, I appreciate everything you do, Nick. Thank you.
No problem. It's been great talking to you. Keep in contact as well, right? And I'll speak to you.
I will, for sure.
No problem. Take care, Charlie.
All right. Bye, Nick.
Bye for now. That is all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Charlie for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.